All right, what's up, guys? We are back with another podcast episode. I am your host, Chris. I almost...
I was waiting for it.
I can't even say it with a straight face. I almost... This is so stupid. I almost said, I am your host, Will. I can't... This is so stupid.
I have a story about that.
I'm just going to start putting it on screen. I'm not even going to try and say it anymore.
You're going to put that on your teleprompter? That's... You know,
no.
Guys...
No.
This is how you know.
No, not on the teleprompter. I mean, edit it on screen that says, like, in the box, host,
okay.
Will,
gotcha.
Or Chris.
You see, this is how you know that you're not truly the host. Because if you mess it up, it's obviously, it's clearly in your mind that you're not the actual host. So you messing it up just speaks volumes.
I can't do the intro serious, like, while I'm looking at you. Like, I need to, like, cover you while I'm doing it. It would
be okay.
Easier.
It's okay. I understand, Chris. I have that effect on people. I know. It's okay.
Okay. Anyways, guys, this week we have a lot to talk about. There's quite a few paddles that we're just going to give some brief little previews on that we got to hit. And then also... One of the bigger topics we wanted to talk about is just a lot of like the process of reviewing a paddle. How do we choose? Like, what are the ethics behind reviews? Like, are reviewers paid? Like, how does all of this work? Because I realize there's a lot of things for me specifically that like I think about every day that I assume is obvious to everyone else, but I've never actually talked about it. And then I realized, like, it's not obvious at all. So I was like, we should talk about that.
All right, yeah. I mean, I feel like we talked about this before, but I guess now we should probably do this, I don't know, every so often because our process does change. New audience members, listeners don't know our process. You know, they don't go back to listen to some previous episodes where we explain it. So, yeah, I think it's something good to talk about, especially now since the paddle market is so competitive now. And, I don't know. I would say our thoughts, inputs, and reviews, you know, they do have an impact. And yeah, I mean, we have to be as transparent as I guess we can be, you know?
Yeah, for sure. All right. First off, let's talk about some of the paddles. So this week, it's clear that Selkirk's got a new paddle coming. Jack Sock was using it. It looks like it's going to be probably the production version of the 005. There's not a lot of details on it yet, but it's clear he's playing with something new. It wasn't a Lux and it wasn't a Power Air. So
some people thought it was, I think some people thought it was some, I don't know, Lux or Power Air, new colorway or something. I feel like,
I mean, they do a ton of colorways. So like it totally could have been that. Yeah. Or I could see how people like would think that.
Yeah. Yeah. He did pretty good. He made it to the finals, right?
Yeah. Jackson? He got second.
Who did he play against? Oh, Fed.
Fed. Dude, Fed is 9-for-9 finals this year.
Wait,
he's
made
every
finals.
Final this year.
And he's,
I don't know how many of them are gold, but he's won several of them.
Dang, good job, Fed. Fed.
And I don't know if you saw, but he's actually the number one ranked men's singles player now.
I did see that. I was like, oh man, what universe are we in? Huh? Like, you know. I had to pinch myself a little bit.
He's just like a freak in singles. It's actually wild how good he is at singles.
He's playing with the new Gen 3 Yolas, right?
Yeah.
Shoot. Now his weakness of not being able to put away balls, I guess it doesn't matter anymore. He's crushing He's crushing these things now. Yeah.
The Yola comes pre-built with put the ball away mode.
You know, it'd be funny if there should be a switch. You should make like a switch near the top where the band goes on the handle or whatever, just for fun. Like, okay, put ball away mode, click it. Yeah,
that would be funny.
Or an easy button, like you smash a ball and it goes out.
That
and
was
you hit
easy.
The bump. Yeah, that was easy. Yeah,
that would tilt people so hard.
Oh, I know. No, I would do that to tilt people. Like that's why it would be funny.
Dude, people, which we won't go over it much because I don't have a lot of new stuff to go over, really. But it is interesting now that it's released and, like, everyone in my area has one. I played in my league last week and lots of people have it. And it's very interesting seeing the reactions to the paddle. One, the amount of people just sailing balls because they don't know how to use it yet. And then two, the other side of it, which is, like, people who are upset that the thing exists, which I totally understand. I mean... We're like right at or very close to the speed of what illegal delaminated or core crushed paddles were last year. So I get it.
Dude,
but
no,
it's like,
they are. I think they hit just as hard as delaminated core crush paddles of yesteryear or however many months ago. I think they hit that hard. But now the balls can go in and they generate more spin.
Yeah, it's wild. So, you know, there's a lot of people who are upset. Like, it's the classic, like, oh, this is a cheater paddle, blah, blah, blah. Kind of, you know, all the same things of like when the gearbox came out. But it's just, it's always fascinating, like, doing, like, the gearbox was an interesting one for me where it's like, I got to play with it for a month. I was the only one with it. And now that everyone has it, you're like, ah, yeah.
Yeah.
I knew this. I feel like I had a history lesson from the gearbox where once everyone else had it, I was like, that paddle's not fun anymore. So I was more braced this time. But it is, it's just interesting to see it in the wild and see the reactions. Yeah,
no, I've seen some in the wild. And I just came back from Texas. For those of you guys listening right now, I literally just made the drive back from Dallas. It was like a 4-hour drive. I got here, set my stuff down, turned on my camera, and we're recording this pod right now. I'll give you a little backstory of, I'll tell you a little bit about the stories in Texas. But I saw some people that have it. I did bring a few of them down. Some people asked me if they had it and they wanted to test it out and try it. Most of the people who tried it loved it. I would say they were like, oh yeah, you can tell. They were like, oh, this is poppy. It would take some time getting used to. But many of them, even some, I would say some of them are higher level, like 4.0, 4.5. They're like, okay, yeah, I think they could get used to this, you know? Mm-hmm. And I got it was like maybe 33% each. Like some people, like you said, were upset about it, that it exists. Some people were happy, you know, just having fun with it. And then, there was some people that were a little, I guess they're like, oh, this is going to take a little time. But you can tell they were kind of positive about it. But they were, for the most part, they were excited about it, to be quite honest. You know? So, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And actually, before we go into your Texas thing, since we're on the Yola, I just want to go over this really quick.
Yeah.
It is, this is probably like, I could do a whole video on this, and I probably should do a whole video about this. Mm-hmm. But it is wild to me. So I have who knows how many of these new Yolas now. Like I have all the production models and some of them I even have duplicates of.
Yeah.
And I swear to you, like every single one of these has a different amount of grit. Either both sides are gritty or both sides are smooth or one side is gritty and one side is smooth or like just you feel all of them and you're like, these are completely different. And it is absolutely bonkers to me to spend $280 and not get a consistent paddle. Like I've said it before and I'll say it again, I think people would be way more okay with some of these prices if you were actually getting pristine, like it's the grit is consistent, the like build quality is good, but I'm like the handle sizes are larger than advertised, the grit is inconsistent. Like if I was buying one of these myself right now, I would not buy it online. I would go into a store and feel every single one of the faces until I found the one that was gritty on both sides because the inconsistency
drives you nuts.
Wild. it shouldn't exist on a product that expensive. Like I would expect that for a paddle that's $80. If I'm paying for the top of the line paddle, I shouldn't be questioning whether or not I'm getting good grit and bad grit.
Yeah, also guys, check the butt caps too, because I have all of them too, and a few of the butt caps on mine, the ones that I put a little bit more time into, like playing with or hitting with, they feel like it's not bad, but like I'm like, okay, I feel like maybe it's in my head, but I was like, this feels a little loose. I'm not.
Is it like wiggling a little bit?
Just a tad, like, but I have to really like search for it, you know. But it's enough for me to notice, you know.
Yeah,
and other people notice too that I let people borrow the paddle. Like, huh, is this thing a little loose? And I'm like, yeah, I think it is. So that's something to keep in mind as well.
Crazy. Well, did you want to go over more of the paddle stuff first? Did you want to talk about your trip in Texas?
I'll just talk about my trip to Texas real quick. So I went down there to meet with some pickleball peeps. My buddy Benny, he invited me out to go to Lao New Year Festival. Like, you know, it's like Cambodian, Thai, Laos New Year's, and they have a huge, I guess, temple out in Saginaw, Texas, which is, I think, just west of Dallas-Fort Worth. So he invited me out, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to go check it out. I went to go, had a good time. Yo, so, and dude, this is my first time hanging out with him and his crew. So, I mean, shout outs to him, Benny, Drew, Cat with a K, Brian, Billy, Larry, also known as Lair Bear. I was like, yo, I'm not giving you a shout out as Lair Bear, but I guess that's what's happening now. Steven, Amy, Jacob. This is my first time hanging out with them. Super nice.
Brought me
out to the cookout. This was a huge block party, and I was invited to the cookout. You know what I'm saying? Wow. Yeah. Let me crash on their couch. We played pickleball, drank, ate a ton of food. And then the next day, let's just say I had maybe one too many drinks. I lost a few card games. I was not in the right state of mind. But Tanner, he's one of the coaches over at DIP, Dallas Indoor Pickleball Club. He used to live in OKC, but he's down there teaching. But he's like, hey, Will, come drill in the morning. We need some singles practice. Some of the higher level ladies here are playing. And yeah, it'd be great to have you. And so I'm like, okay, yeah, sure. I can go and mess around or whatever. I didn't realize like how good like they were or who they were. So we go and he totally flipped the 180s. All right, Will, you're in this bracket. And I'm like, what do you mean I'm in this bracket? It's a whole entire like open singles tournament. Right? So I played a whole entire open singles tournament, which I got bronze in.
Wait, and it was like not split by gender, like it was just genders,
just all genders. I played some good people. My first like round match was this kid named Gabe. He was like 15 or 16, but he was a beast. And I was like, oh my god, these guys came here to win. What's going on? And then I had some pros in there, so I made it to like I think semis, and I faced Shay Donahue. She's like, I don't know, she's like a 5'5". She plays pro, and she's like ranked like 24 or 22. On the women's side for singles PPA, right?
Okay.
And then Nicole Pitts was there. She won the whole thing, gold. And I lost to her. She put me down in the loser side. Like, she definitely destroyed me. I think I lost like 5 and 6, something like that. There's just shots she was just getting. I was like, you know, coming to the net, hitting it one side, dropping it here. She's running, she's getting it. And then she hits a high one to my forehand, and I'm kind of on the right side of the court, and I hook it to the left. Here's the go. I'm turning around like, oh, she's over here. She's not getting this. I'm turning around. I'm walking to myself. Oh, man, good job. Patting myself on the back. You know what I'm saying? And then I kind of like on the corner of my eye, right? Because my eyes are facing like the fence, right? And on my corner of my eye, the ball comes and it skids on the line. And I look back and I was like, there's no way. I heard a shoe skirt. I heard a hit and I saw the ball land. And I'm like, there is no way. Because that ball I hit, it wasn't even like going to like the back fence, it was going to the side fence. I put so much angle on and she got it back. I was like, there's just no way. And she got it back. And after that, I was like, yep, I'm done with this game. I give up.
I was gonna say, I just concede at that point.
No, I pretty much conceded. But yeah, I got bronze. Not bad.
That's cool, especially for not knowing you were going to be playing in a tournament.
Yeah, with some pros in the tournament. Like, you know, female pros at that. They were solid. Anyways, after that, and that was like from like 10 to like 2. And then I played open play from like 2 until like 5 o'clock. So most pickleball I played. Yeah. And I mean, this will go back to paddles. I've been putting a lot of work. I played with the HUDEF Viva Gen 3 carbon Kevlar like for the first half, and then when I realized what was going on and like the caliber of the people who were playing, I was like, okay, I need something with a little more power. Right. And the HUDEF was great. I was like, oh yeah, I got the touch and everything. And then I switched over to the Engage Pursuit Pro 1. Each time I say it, I swear I'm about to say Engage Pursuit Pro S1. I catch myself all the time. Everybody calls it the Pro S1. He's like, hey man, can I hit with that Pro S1? I was like, you mean the ball? Like the Selkirk ball? He's like, no, the paddle. Oh, okay.
Yes. Which thickness? Thin or thick?
16 thick.
Oh, the 6.0.
Yeah, the 6.0. The 6.0.
Got it.
I really like that paddle, dude. I think if I made like a top 10 list, that would easily make a top 10 list. I still need to watch a review on it, but that might get a video soon. But I really like that paddle a lot. And so, played really good with that. And then in rec play, pickle paddle, yo, everybody's like, there's no way you're playing me against that with that little trainer paddle. I was like, dude, this thing is,
yeah, let's nice. Let's clarify, because we have to do this every time we talk about it on the pod. We have to spell it. P-K-O-L-L.
Yes.
The one that's shaped like a spoon.
Yes. You're spelling it out. You're like at a spelling bee. Can you please use that in a sentence?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Please use that pickle in a sentence. Pickle, the one with the, that shaped like a spoon.
Yes. Can you repeat that? Is that a noun? Is that a verb? I don't know. Anyways. Yeah. So I was playing with that. It was fun. You know, just a lot of good rec games. Oh, I also got to play rec with Robert. Shout out to Robert. Robert Slutsky. Up and coming, like, pro in Dallas. If you, some of you guys might have seen the his clip that kind of went semi-viral. He did a diving ATP for a win in the pro. Yeah. Yo, he's so good. I was like, dang, he is the right level. So I had some really good games. Good stuff. Good time. And now I'm back here. Like, drove all the way back here to make this pod episode for y'all.
Let's go. Let's go. Anyways, well, it sounds like a fun time.
Yeah. Really good, fun time. So, I mean, it was also a good time to put in hours. I mean, like, or, yeah, hours, minutes on some of these paddles. Like I said, Viva Gen 3 was there. Oh, I also been playing with the Shapeshifter from Chorus. I really like that paddle. And you know what?
Yeah.
How do you feel about that, like, 18K weave pattern?
I think in terms of actual spin production, it's probably more of a gimmick than anything. Just based on how we know these paddles are built, I don't see how it's actually doing anything to help you produce spin. Okay. But it looks cool. It looks okay. Cool.
So I was in your camp, the same camp. I was like, okay, I don't know if it does more in spin. I still don't know. I know John Q did a video on the Diadem 18K, and he says it gets more spin. For me, I don't know if it does. I mean, obviously, I don't do spin tests, but I think it does do, it does affect the performance in terms of feel, like, in my opinion.
Sure.
Part of that is because, you know, the way the carbon fiber is woven, like, one way it bends, it's more stiff one way, but when you add those extra, like, patterns and layers, I feel like the face becomes a little bit more malleable, and so I feel like it shapes the ball a little bit more, and I personally think that it gets better touch, and because it shapes more, maybe that equates to more spin. But I like it. I've only played with two paddles, and I've hit with the Diadem 18K like slightly, but the paddles that I have played that have that kind of checkerboard kind of pattern, or the 18K pattern, whatever you call it, I've liked all of them. So yeah. I mean, at least the two that I've played with, and the Shapeshifter is definitely up there. So I mean, those are my thoughts on that kind of pattern, whether you think it's a gimmick or not. But you're right, it does definitely look cool. If it doesn't detract from the performance, I feel like more companies should do it, because I mean, like, it does look cool.
No, don't say that, Will, because now it's going to be everywhere.
No, what do you mean? What?
Shoot. It's everything's going to look the same again.
Hey, well, we'll have like a short window where things might look cool. Somebody will think of something. And you're giving me too much credit. You really think my word has that much influence?
Yeah, you're right. Your word doesn't mean anything. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I laid that on a platter for you. I was expecting something more, but I mean, you didn't take the bait.
No. All right. Okay. Well, anyways, some other paddles that I've gotten to hit. I will have a full video on launch day, or I should, which would be May 1st, of the new Vatic Oni. I'm not going to go into super in-depth on my thoughts here, because there's a lot to talk about on this pod that I really want to get to. But the Vatic Oni is, you know, a foam core style paddle. If you haven't seen the renders of it, we'll try and pop it up. But basically, they took slits out of the polymer core and then lined it with foam, which is, you know, probably how it gets around the deflection test, is my guess. But it's definitely a powerful paddle. It will be cheaper than the Gen 3 Yolas. I believe it's supposed to be $160, and then with a code it's probably $150. So I'll have more thoughts on it. It's interesting slash different from like the Yola. It's a very different approach, has a different feel, but I think it'll definitely have some appeal. So keep your eyes out for that, because that's the first, like, I said it was going to happen, right? As soon as Yola did this, we're going to have this wave of, it's not a copycat because they kind of did their own thing, but like foam core style paddles that are trying to achieve lots of power. You're going to see tons of these.
Yes. And I mean, you kind of have to, because Yola kind of, I don't know, not popularizing it, right? And I feel that if you kind of, people are going to feel like if you want to compete, you have to have at least the option, right? And then some of the pros who play with some of these other brands, they need to feel like they have the option, or they're going to kind of be at a disadvantage, right? Until they get used to the speed. So, yeah, I'm excited to check it out. I think the Vatic Oni came to my door. I haven't opened it up yet. I did see their kind of teaser trailer, that limited edition like dragon pattern on it. Looks pretty sweet. Yep. I'm pretty excited. Actually, Jeff messaged me and he really likes it. He was like, dude, I'm totally switching to this. He says it sits somewhere between the Gen 2 and the Gen 3, like the right amount. So I was like, okay. Or at least when he's talking about the Yolas, at least.
Yeah. For sure. All right. Next thing I want to talk about quick is Franklin will have a new paddle coming out. I think JW was actually playing with it this weekend, I believe I saw. But it's a 12 millimeter of the same line that they had before of their Tempo. And is it... Well, I'm totally blanking on... I'm blanking on what the...
Dynasty.
That's it. Thank you. Yes, Dynasty. So Tempo and Dynasty, they made a 12 millimeter version of it. And it's funny, they swung the total opposite direction of what they did with the 14 and 16 millimeter.
What do you mean?
So the 14 millimeter and 16 millimeters were absolute tanks. Like, they are some of the heaviest paddles, stock paddles you can buy. Like, the Dynasty 16 had a swing weight of like 133 out of the box, and it's stock, it's like 8.9 ounces or up to. So very heavy. But the new Dynasty 12 and Tempo 12 are extremely, extremely light. Like, they just skipped the middle ground. So the Dynasty 12 millimeter swing weight, so that's their elongated. Yep. Swing weight, 104. Stupid low for elongated. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Weight of mine was 7.3 ounces. And then the Tempo 12 millimeter, which is the square body one, has a swing weight of 98 and a static weight on mine of 7.2 ounces.
Wow. Okay. I see. I can tell you're excited to try these out, or if haven't already.
I haven't really gotten to hit them yet. I just think I don't even know that I would say I'm excited to try it. It's just like, I love how they went to both extremes. Like, I think having a lightweight option is really good for some people and they'll appreciate that. Though a 12 millimeter that light, the twist weight's going to be really low, so the sweet spot might not be great. I don't know. It's just interesting that they went super heavy and super light with nothing in the middle.
They heard you. They heard you in your last video or something, wherever you mentioned it, where it's so heavy. They're like, okay, Chris doesn't like it. We have to make something that Chris likes. Okay.
I think everyone said it was too heavy.
Oh, yeah?
Okay. Yeah, except unless you're JW. Unless you have JW forearms, which are just insane.
Yeah. All right. Moving on, we have a little bit of news. The John Bros, they get pickled by Andre and Gabe. Did you watch that match?
So I mostly only got to catch the highlights. My Sarah's car was like in the shop and we were like going to pick it up while this was happening. But so they lose the first game, Gabe and Andre, 1-11. Then they win 13-11, and then they pickle the John's Bros, which is the first time they have ever been pickled in a PPA.
I just want to know what happened. Like,
everything that I saw and heard is that Gabe was just absolutely lighting up Ben's backhand.
Sheesh. Gabe has one of the best, you know, speed ups, like, off the bounce. I think, I don't know, he's up there with, I would say J-Dub, Dylan maybe. But yeah, he's tricky too.
This has happened multiple times now throughout history, but I just love when people are like, these APP players, like, they can't compete on the PPA. Like, they were saying that about Andre for a while, and, like, you know, obviously Gabe was, like, big APP guy, and now they come over here and they're just, like, kicking butt.
Yeah. Like,
Gabe and Andre are monsters.
Yeah, no, absolute monster. I mean, I knew Gabe. I mean, not necessarily Gabe, but I knew Andre from the first time I saw him at that MLP, like, 2 years back. I watched him play against, you know, all the players, like Deckel and I can't remember. Yeah, I think some of the PPA players were out that time. But I was just watching him ball, and I was just like, dude, there's this guy Andre is disgustingly good. Such good hands, and he's just so calm, I feel like, all the time, you know?
Yep.
So, yeah, well, Andre's shutting up those haters, you know, if there are still haters. But I feel like people don't be hating on Andre or Gabe like that.
There's no way. And I will say what's also interesting, or like, we're in a cool part of like pro pickleball right now where we're finally getting the outside of, like, I guess women's, where, you know, anytime Annalise's there, she's just going to win essentially. But like, we're getting much bigger shakeups these days, right? Like, mm-hmm. Andre and Anna beat Ben and Anna Lee. Ben gets knocked out before the finals. Like, multiple times now this year, they have not made a finals for men's doubles, and many times Ben has not made it for singles. Like, we're finally getting the shakeups that we wanted, which is just more interesting.
Yes, yes, more interesting. Maybe I'll start watching some more pickleball again. Maybe.
Maybe. We'll see if we can get you into it.
No, man, that product is still, I'm sorry, it's still not good. Like, the replays don't work. I can't see the slow motion. Like, I need more angles. Like, it's just not, I don't know. I'd rather watch other things. Like, I don't know how else to put it, you know? It's just
fair
the way
enough.
It is. Just
fair the way enough. It is. All right. I want to move on now to the talking about the paddle review process. So a lot of this got inspired by, if you guys don't know who this is, there's a YouTuber named MKBHD or Marquez Brownlee. He yes. reviews a lot of tech products. He's a super cool guy. Like, I've watched him since I was like
just
young,
a wee little
teenager.
Boy before that, he even knew what pickleball was.
I mean, literally, though, like, I feel like I watched him, like, growing up. It's crazy. And mm-hmm. he was just in a bunch of interviews lately, and there was, like, some interesting news about some reviews he had done. And he talked a lot about, like, his review process and, like, the ethics of certain things. And I felt like there was a lot of overlap in the pickleball world. And it just led to, like, oh, there's, like, a lot of interesting things I think we could talk
yeah,
about
we could
from
break.
This.
I mean, the main opener for his video review was because he basically, what happened was, he made a review on, like, I think one or two products, and there were bad reviews. He was letting his audience know that it was like a car, electric car, and it was some sort of like gadget, like AI pin gadget. And he's like, this is bad. And then coincidentally, what happened was, like, a week later, those companies, their stock prices tanked. Okay, just to the floor. Like, they went bankrupt, whatever. And then there's some people out there, some pundits, I don't know if they were politicians, journalists or whatever, they were basically calling him out, like, he has too much power. Like, he like, that his video review bankrupt their company. And so it got so out of hand, people were responding back and forth, that he felt the need to make a video to explain himself. So the question that he posed was, do bad reviews kill companies? And he answered that question. He's like, no, bad products kill companies. And so he kind yeah. of just explained his thought process, explained what happened, and that people are taking things out of context. You know, some of the stock price for those companies was already failing. There's other things in the works, but they decided to, I don't know, use him as a scapegoat, which is a little unfair, but they're also saying because he's so popular, I think he's over like 18, almost 19 million subscribers. So they think he has a lot of power, that he should be more responsible for not killing these companies. But he's saying, like, dude, I'm not doing anything that's not necessarily true. And these companies, you know, they're managing their company poorly already. And they were down, like, that was the trajectory you're already going. And then he went to explain his video process. So do you want to elaborate more on that, or how you want it, like how you go about it? Because obviously you take MKBHD style. And I would say, out of all the paddle reviewers, like, we had to kind of, you know, compare. You are the MKBHD of paddle reviewers. Even people in your comments, your audience says that. It's like, okay. Yeah. They say, it's like, okay, MKBHD, I see you. That, and I think it's hilarious, but it's also like the biggest compliment.
That is literally the highest praise I could ever receive, because I'm telling you, it just, obviously I've never met him, but from what I have seen online, how he holds himself as a person and just a content creator, like, mm-hmm. he is like the perfect model of like what a content creator should be to me. So I feel like I look up to him a lot. And so we'll go over a lot of things inside of this that kind of cover some stuff that he did. But one, he was in another interview that I watched this morning, and they had him read a tweet, and I thought it applied very well in pickleball too, but of course in his field. It was basically like, it was essentially saying, if you give a good review, the question everyone asks is, how much did they pay you? And then if you give it a negative review, the question everyone asks is, how much did the competition pay you? And then if you say nothing at all, the question is, why do you hate them so much? And while I feel like that does not happen in pickleball as much, I have definitely seen people like take those stances, like to me or anybody, you know. It's like, oh, you reviewed like a big paddle and it like was favorable, and it's like, well, they obviously had to have paid you off, right? And it's like, it's just so funny that it really doesn't matter what you say or do. Like, you can't win. Like, somebody will always be upset no matter which approach you took.
Right, exactly. I mean, at the end of the day, I hope you personally don't ever feel bad. And I know some people like kind of come after you, and most of the times I know you don't really respond because it's like beneath you, but I can tell sometimes when it irks you, because obviously if when they say something, and if they clearly watched your, you know, your channel and your stuff, they would know, like, dude, like, Chris does not do this, or like, how can you actually say that? Because if you actually followed them, there's just no way you'd make some [S2] Right. [S1] Of these accusations that they're making, you know what I mean?
Totally.
Yeah.
So yeah, the main thing I want, like, there's a lot of things I want to go over, but like, we're going to go into like the ethics of reviews, like how do we choose what to review, and all of that. And I think the first thing I want to go over is like, I feel like you and I have taken different approaches of like routes we've gone. And I don't think one is necessarily better or worse than another. Like, mm-hmm. from the beginning, my goal was always like, I am for the people, like, they come first. The company does not get say, like, all of this. Like, mm-hmm. I haven't done any sponsored ad reads for, like, a paddle company. Yep. Like, you've done a sponsored ad read, and, mm-hmm. like, you work for Selkirk. But it's funny, even though, like, you know, people will joke, and, like, even on the pod comments, we see it all the time. They're like, oh, like, it's Shilkirk, or, like, oh, like, of course he's going to say that. But I actually feel like, even though I'm sure there is some inherent bias in some of those things, you are very, in every review where you're like reviewing a Selkirk product, you're like, look, guys, take everything I'm about to say with, like, you don't hide it. You're like, take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah, I still feel like I'm pretty honest. I feel like people can still trust me. And I think you can still do that while being, you know, like while I'm still an employee, or, you know, if I do ad reads, or you see some of my clips, and I'm sure people have seen my clips from Bread and Butter, like that one video I did, and then I gave Doug permission to cut it up, and I was like, yeah, use it as an ad, go ahead. He asked me for my permission, and, you know, he paid me for it. And the thing is that, like, for me, I'll do those things, right? I don't mind it, but I have to also, first and foremost, I have to like the product, believe in the product, or believe in the people behind the product, or both. Right. And I mean, Doug is not the first. He probably won't be the last, but other people have always asked me and tried. It's funny because they come to me sometimes. I get emails, I get DMs. They're like, how much? You know, I saw you did something with Bread and Butter. Or I know you were for Selkirk. Like, how much do I need to get this or for you to say this? And I'm like, that's not how it works. They don't understand that. What happens usually, at least for me, is, like any other company, they ask to send me a few things. I say, I can't promise you anything. I'll play with it. I'll converse with the owner or whoever sent it to me. I'm like, hey, I like it. I think this is an interesting angle. Sometimes I'll be like, if I were to do a video on this, I can tell you right now, like, it's not going to be good. I let them know that sometimes, you know, if they really want to work with me, and I kind of like get them a feeler. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt, or I'll tell them like some improvements, you know, that need to be made, because from MKBHD's stance, like, I also don't want to be feeling like I'm the one responsible for, you know, bringing a company down. You know what I'm saying? Especially if you're just getting started off or whatever. Maybe you're happy with the product that you're pushing out, or maybe you just don't know the market as well, that there's other people out there doing something very similar, or they're coming first. You know what I'm saying? So I let them kind of know. And if there's an interesting angle, I'll do it. So I have to like it, or I have to think there's an interesting angle. Then I'll decide to do it. And then if I do decide to do it, maybe then I'll take some money or some sponsored deals, revenue, etc. Because, you know, I'm trying to figure this out, right? You know what I mean? Like, I'm not you. I don't get huge, I guess, views all the time, you know, so I have to make income somehow. So yes, I'm a little biased, but I try to be as fair, you know, and as transparent as I can be. That's just how it is.
I think the important part is that transparency, because I think where it becomes a problem is if you're taking the money and not disclosing.
Yeah.
Like if you, this whole time, no one ever knew you worked for Selkirk, or in that Bread and Butter video, like, you never disclosed that, like, at least at that point, the person watching the video gets to decide how serious they want to take anything you're about to say.
Yes.
Whereas if you don't say that, they have no idea and don't they can't make that decision because they're just unaware.
Right. Exactly. Right. Yeah. And a lot of the times what I do say is like, sometimes it's like mostly, I mean, like all reviews, I know you try to be, you know, more information based, like you, John Q, Braden. A lot of the stuff that I say, a lot of it is from my personal experience, and a lot of it is opinion. That's why I talk about the aesthetics and the looks a lot, because if I say those things, like, yeah, because I believe those things, and that's my opinion. Like, you can, you know, say what you want, but it's hard to argue that, like, you know what I'm saying? Oh, that's just Will's opinion. But also, you guys, you know, you guys are talking about numbers and stuff like that, and then of course those are the numbers that you get. Like, what are you gonna argue these numbers? Like, no, there's no way you got that many more RPMs on this one paddle disc, because mine was had to be way more. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what are you gonna do?
Yeah,
like, no, right?
100%, 100%. But yeah, I just thought that would be important to go over like that initially, because it just so people know, because like, I don't know, it's funny seeing like the Shilkirk comments, and it's maybe just because I know you personally, but I feel like I know you well enough to like know where you draw the line, and that you would not like try to mislead people. Like, you would not say, look, this is a product that's bad, and then try to say it's good. Right.
Right. Exactly.
Like, so I don't know. People can of course form whatever opinion they want of you, but I feel like you've always done a good job of like being transparent, despite being affiliated with in some capacity with certain companies.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And honestly, I don't really read those comments. I don't really care. The people who trust me. I feel like I also gain a certain amount of trust and authority, just because obviously I do this podcast like with you, and I feel like you're the one of the most trusted authorities. So just by association, you know, there's some trust. And obviously you wouldn't talk to me if you knew I was, you know,
100%
just
that would never work.
Yeah, exactly.
That would never work. It would drive me up a wall.
Right. And I'm going to say this right now, like, you do a really good job with being, you know, trustworthy and kind of just, you know, information and fact-based with your audience. And for those of you listening out there, like, no matter how you look at it, at the end of the day, though, we do make money from these views. Like, and Chris, I know you've never taken, you know, money up front or anything, but also, like, the algorithm dictates a little bit about what you review. I mean, not the album, but like the people, like, you know, you're very in tune with your audience. So what they're asking for, you're making a video on that, right? Yep. Because you're like, why would I put all in? You spend so much time and effort in making some of your videos. So I get it from your point of view. It's like, why would I spend these days, these hours making this video on a product that no one's going to watch?
Yeah.
Right. Because for you, you get paid by the views and by, you know, I guess the affiliate sales. So, I mean, if you think about it, like, at the end of the day, we're getting paid, whether in the front end or the back end. But, like, this does, you know, this does work in our minds. Like, you guys out there, like, this works in our mind. There's sometimes we're thinking about, okay, if this, we make a good review, maybe it gets good affiliate sales, we can make some money, but, if we make a video and it gets no views, like, and nobody wants it, then, you know, we're not supplying like the demand to our audience. And
this actually leads perfect into the thing out, like the next thing, which was like, how do we choose what to review? Yes. And I actually thought this was interesting because MKBHD talked about this in his interview, and I was like, man, I was like, it lines up so well. Like, the guy's, no one else is going to care, but I just, that guy is awesome.
That is for sure my man
crush. Like, that is, I love this guy. He is, anyways.
So how do you choose?
Yeah. So what's really interesting about like choosing a review is people are like, well, why did you choose this one and not this one? And I think for me, there's a couple things that go into like deciding what's going to get reviewed. Of course, my own subjective taste, right? Like, if I just think a paddle's good and I like it a lot, I'm going to review it. For example, I think probably the most recent example of that was the 11.6 24 Hirachi X.
Like, yeah, you love that thing. And I'm like, eh, I don't think that would get a dedicated video from me because, I don't know, it just, to me, it kind of feels like everything else out there. It's still good. I know that it's good, you know, and, but I don't think I would dedicate a whole video to it. And really, can I just say real quick, like right now, guys, all the paddles out there, like we said this before, but even now, more so now, it is really hard to make a bad paddle. Like almost all the brands make a really good paddle. You can almost play with almost anything and like it will be good. Each brand has something very good. Even the smaller ones, the ones you don't hear about a lot now, they make good stuff, you know?
Yep.
And that makes it hard to choose paddles. It's like everything feels the same sometimes, you know?
Yep. So top of the list is my own subjective taste. If I just think something's cool or interesting, then it's getting a review. And that is like a prime example. Like no one was asking about that brand. No one even knew they existed, but mm-hmm. I hit the paddle and was like, dang, I like this. I'm going to make a video about it. So that's number one. And then after that, it's what would be mass appeal to my audience. So for example, the new Yolas. Unquestionably, if I didn't make a video about that on launch day, it was going to be the most asked, like, why didn't you make a video about this? Like mm-hmm. there are certain companies that just like everybody wants to know when they release something. So I was mm-hmm. like, okay, that's mass appeal. That's obviously going to take high priority. And then yep. the other one that's actually interesting is if something's really bad, that makes yes. for an interesting video too, because it's like, you shouldn't buy this. Here's why. Like the Franklin STK was a great example of that. The Adidas Metal Bone. It's like super expensive, interesting concept, but like you probably shouldn't buy it because it's really not that good.
Yeah.
And then in the middle is where you have everything else, which is oftentimes it's very mid and it's not getting, it's, these things aren't getting reviews because they're bad. It's just that they're so similar to something else that it's like,
yes.
well, what's the point, right? Like I've already covered these five thermoformed paddles and this mm-hmm. paddle falls somewhere in between those. So it doesn't really make sense to waste time doing this review on something that's like so similar to other things. So yeah. I think sometimes people think like, oh, like these reviewers probably just think this paddle's bad, so they don't want to look at it. Most of the time, paddles aren't even bad. It's just that they're so average.
Yeah, which is not necessarily a bad thing, because the average yeah. now is pretty good, you know? Nope. So make that clear.
Average now is great. Like, I bet if I look all throughout my office here, like, for example, the Neonic Flow, perfectly good paddle. I never covered it because I was just like, eh. Like, yeah. it's fine, but I didn't think it was super interesting. If I look around a little bit more, like Groovin 13S and 16S, those actually are a little bit more interesting. And I do feel like I need to cover those in some capacity. But like, that's another one that I was like, solid paddle, but like, eh, like, don't know if it needs to be covered.
Yeah, like, it's a balancing act. It's a balancing act of like the time and like
yep.
what you get out of the time that you put in, right?
Right.
And this kind of goes like, and for me, I agree with all the things you just said. For the most part, like that's kind of how I pick the paddles that I pick and I choose. I also, you know, I like to do comparisons. I think that's more useful to
yes,
people.
I agree.
Yeah, or just explaining lineups. I think that's really important, which I started to do more. I've kind of fallen off a little bit, but I still have plans to do more of that. But it's just so hard because each time I'm writing a script, they release a new one. And I was yep. like, oh man, I need to update this. But I was like, man, I should just finish this and create an updated video later. But also if they have an interesting angle or something's like a little bit different, which is why, well, part of the reason why I reviewed the Azul amongst like other things. Like that one was, you know, a little bit different. There is some like networking connections there, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, people put in my comments like, oh, of course you're getting a review because, like, you know, you flew out all the paddle reviewers or whatever. And I want to let everybody know that that was not the owner Scott's like idea. That was actually my idea. I set that up, and part of the reason is because Grant Bond, which is a good friend of mine, he played with it, he, you know, does work with them, and then I'm friends with Lauren Mercado, and she told me about it, and, you know, that does have some sway, at least for me, and I'm not, you know, I'm not shy about that. I think for you, I even told him, and you knew this too, is like, oh, just because you bring us out, you know, I told him too, I was like, yo, just because you bring us out, you fly us out, or whatever, I can't guarantee you that these guys will make a video on it, but yeah. I also did it because this was an interesting opportunity for us to get together, so you know, I'm thinking like a content creator, like what would be cool, right? Yep. What would our collective audiences kind of like to see, right? Yep. And what would make some good stories to tell, you know?
That trip is actually a really interesting example because I don't know how much you remember this, but I remember very vividly when you were trying to set this up, being like, are these paddles even good or is this interesting? Because like, I honestly don't want to go. And then like, eventually I talked to Scott, he sent the paddles and I was like, okay, these are actually pretty good paddles. Like these have like, these are more unique, but I was not on board with that trip initially.
I know you weren't, because this is not you. I know you felt some type of way about it because of how you kind of handled these situations, and you don't want to feel any bias whatsoever. I know, and I get it, but that's why I was like, all right, let's make something different. And I told him, I made it very clear. I was like, if you want to do the video, great. If not, like, I don't care. Really, I just wanted to get us together.
Yeah. You know? Which, hey, that part ended up being absolutely fantastic. But yeah, that it was definitely like, I mean, once I hit the paddles, it was like, okay, clearly these are unique enough to like be worth it. But it was,
yeah.
Like the last thing I want is to like go waste time on a trip for like hitting a, like just Gen 1 paddle or something.
Gen 1 or something that's good, but like quote unquote average, that's still good. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? But I thought they did have an interesting angle. Anyways, and then sometimes paddles also, like you wrote here, just get missed, even though we know about them, because there's so many out. Like we've talked about the Anna Lee Waters paddle from Paddle Tech all the time, and we both know that's good. We've seen it. We've seen people play it. We've played with it, played against it. We just kind of like don't have time. And part of that reason is because even though we know that it's good, how many people are asking for it? If they're not asking for it, if our audience is not asking for it, that plays a big role into like what we do, right? What else you have up here?
Gary is like, no one's even asking about this, but this is one that I want to make a video about. So like, as far as I'm aware currently, it is basically a like Vatic Prism V7 probably, because I'm pretty positive it has edge foam.
Yeah.
I'm pretty positive, but it's $50 on Amazon for this paddle. Crazy. And like, so half the price of a Vatic. Like objectively, that is an exciting talking point, and I want to get to that video. But like, obviously the Yolas had just launched and there's some other like exciting paddles coming up that I know people will want to know about right away. So it's like, where do you prioritize it? And the Anna Lee Waters is a great example. Like that's been out forever, but like there's been so many other things that it's like,
right,
where do I slot this in?
Yeah. So, yeah. Cause it takes up time. Exactly. And you wrote here another good one, the Volare Forza Mach 2. I really like that one as well. I know Braden or John might've made a video. I think Braden did. He plays with it, right?
Yep.
I mean, when Braden plays with it, it's the Mach 3 because that man's hands are so fast. Oh my gosh.
It's true. But
we just don't have time. And honestly, that's why, you know, when we first started and more paddle reviewers are coming to space, like, I don't know about you, but me, I was excited because I was like, there's going to come a time when we can't do everything. We have more reviewers, you know, the people can get more information about some of these paddles that we miss from other people, get more opinions, because I was like, not everybody's going to feel the same way about a paddle as me or you. I mean, just look at you and me.
Yep.
We like different types of paddles. Although I have, you know, kind of been swaying towards your side with the quicker hand, lower swing weight paddles, you know, the more hybrid shape. But when I started playing with the Hudef Viva Gen 3, I was like, oh man, I forgot how much I liked these elongated paddles, even, you know, the Engage Pursuit Pro ones, even though that's a lower swing weight. But I was like, oh man, on my serve and my return, I feel godlike. I'm like, oh dude, I'm hitting some of these balls like so nice. I was like, oh man, I don't even need like this third shot drive or whatever, is gonna be easy. Who needs a Gen 3 Yola? I got this.
There you go. But yeah, in terms of like picking paddle reviews, like that's kind of what it comes down to ultimately. And it just, at the size that all of us are, like I think I'm technically like the largest team, which is one other person, my brother. And even with that, we could not possibly cover everything, because at the end of the day, the bottleneck is the person hitting the paddle, which is me, you, John, Braden, whoever. Like that person can only get so much court time in a day or in a week, and then you have to produce the video and write it and blah, yeah. blah, blah. It's like,
and then also you got to hit it enough so that you have a good idea of it, so you don't get something wrong. And then yes. you mix in with all the other paddles you got to hit. And then also we have to like look at quality control, because you know, you and I, we've gotten duds before. They've sent us paddles that are yep. either like duds or they're broken or something. Yep. And we're like, like, you know, maybe this is something wrong. Maybe we need to get a second one, you know, and that takes up yep. time. And yep. it's just hard. And then plus the traveling that we do sometimes, like, yep. yeah, man.
Or you know, tournaments coming up.
Well, yeah, exactly.
I actually don't even, well, I could see how this would come off as complaining, but I yeah. just want to make it clear. None of us are complaining. I love yes. this job. I love what I'm doing. But what I want to like people to understand is why certain things don't happen. Like, why does this not get covered? Or like, why don't you guys just pump out more reviews? And I think there's a balancing act, right? Like every reviewer, this is going to be individual for how much time they need to properly assess a paddle. For me, if it's a full in-depth review, it can be 1 to 2 weeks, if not more. Like the Yolas, I hit those for 3 straight weeks.
Yeah,
plus and then there's did eight my of review. Them. Plus there's 8 of them, which
14 millimeters, 16, 4 different shapes.
Yeah, that makes it really flipping hard to do. But yeah, it, like some people, they might feel comfortable, like maybe they only hit it 2 times or 3 times. But like each person's different, and that's why it can be faster or shorter, like depending on who you're watching. It doesn't mean it's better or worse. Like it's just like, honestly, I think I could and maybe even should hit paddles less than I do. Like 2 weeks is a lot.
Yeah.
Like for it's a bit excessive, most reviews, Chris. That's yeah, it's like excessive. But to me, I feel the most comfortable when I spend that. Like if I hit that amount of time with a paddle, I'm uh-huh. confident in everything I'm saying. Like yeah. there's no surprises. Like I've put it through a lot of different conditions. So that's to me what feels the most comfortable. But like other people, who knows, maybe 3 days is all they need. And they're like, you know, and that's fine. Like it's yeah. just different.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. When you're 3.5 at best, like Chris, yeah, you need a lot more time with the paddles. Cause you know, you can't do all the shots. You're like, man, was that shot really bad because the paddle, or was it because I don't know how to do that shot yet? I don't know. These overheads, they're just not hitting the way I thought, you know? And I don't know. Maybe this is cause I'm weak. Who knows? I don't know.
You never know. Nah. You never know. Exactly. But anyways, next thing, I mean, we already talked about this, but it's like, have companies ever offered us money? And yeah, like
yeah,
I've been offered money to do reviews plenty of times. I will be clear. I have never personally taken money to do a He's review. Not.
I have. Dude, I know people who've tried to pay Chris money to do a review for him, and he shot them all down. And they hit me up. They're like, yo, what's up with your boy Chris? And I'm like, yo, I told you guys. He's not going to do it. Okay, you guys don't understand him, you know, and it's funny.
It is really funny. Like there's a lot of like behind the scenes chatter about certain things, and it's funny how often people will think that, or like, oh, surely, like companies have definitely thought like, oh, surely if we just offer him enough money, like other companies just didn't offer him enough money to make it compelling. And it's like, no, like I've been offered yes. equity in companies like mm-hmm. pickleball paddle companies. Those have been turned down. There was one that it wasn't really paddle related, but I was offered 6 figures plus a year, turned that down. Like mm-hmm. you, okay, I'm not going to say never. Like if you offered me $1 billion to oh, yeah, like taking that. To do Everybody a paid paddle a review. Number.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll do that paid paddle review and then exactly. I will sail into retirement. But like short of you retiring my entire life, you are not going to pay for a paddle review.
Yes, you are very loyal to what you want and to your audience. Me, I can kick him to the curb like the next day. I'm like, yeah, I'm out. Peace. You know, I don't care about y'all. I'm just kidding. I'm just
Will's
kidding.
You know, Will's out here like I got to fend for myself.
All right. You know, that's not true. You know, that's no, not really true. Yes, like I mean, I do still do things with as much integrity as I possibly can. And I mean, I don't want to lie to anybody. Like I want to be truthful, like, you know, and like I said, sometimes I'll play with something and usually if I don't like it, like I won't make a video about it unless it's really bad. But also at the same time, I don't think I've reviewed any paddle that's like super bad. Sorry, that's my yeah. watch. It's midnight over here. But yeah, like I'll play with it. And if I like it, then I'm like, okay, I'm going to do a review. And sometimes I'll like, here's the thing. Sometimes I'm going to do a review on it anyways. And if I know I'm going to do a review on it anyways, And like, I know the company's offering me money, right? Sometimes I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm going to take it because I was going to do one on it anyways. And that's just how it goes. And sometimes if I know it's a good review, it doesn't really matter that much in my eyes, because if I make a good review, I'm either getting paid on the back end with either affiliate sales and the views, or I get paid up front. And to me, it's almost the same. Like in my eyes, like however you spin or put it, like, you know what I mean? That is what's kind of going through my mind. But I, as long as I know that I'm kind of being, at least for the most part, truthful about it and like to myself, I don't lose sleep at night. You know what I'm saying? Sure. But for you, obviously, you know, you go about it a different way. Mad respect to you, because I, you know, based on what I know about our talks and some of the money and the things that you've been offered that you've turned down, I'm like, wow. You, like, you guys listening out there, you guys are lucky that you guys have Chris, because I was like, there's so many people in your shoes that would fold like immediately, but you don't. And so props to you for that. I don't know what else to say, but yeah.
That's why I always, maybe it's why sometimes it upsets me so much when I see certain comments. Like, it's not often, but occasionally I'll get a comment that just like rubs me the wrong way, where they're like, it's so obvious that this guy sold out, or that this company paid him, or that he's biased this way, or what, like whatever it is. And I'm like, man, what was the point of turning down all these things that are like big money if I'm still gonna get called a shill anyways? Like, what was the point? So sometimes it's just like, I'm like, if you just watch the channel, like, obviously, they're not, if it's their first time watching a video, like, they haven't seen a lot, I get it. But it just...
Or sometimes they're just haters, bro.
I mean, yeah, there is that too. And, you know, those ones are pretty easy to identify. But sometimes I'm just like, man, what does a guy got to do to convince you? Like, I don't know.
There's no convincing them. And that's why I totally went the other route, because I'm like, okay, I know that no matter how hard you try, like, someone out there is going to call you a shill or whatever. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to lean into it. You can't say nothing to me. It's like, yeah, I've taken one here before. I'm a shill for whatever. It's fine, you know?
I will say, you are much better about laughing off mean comments than I am.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, dude, I kind of like the mean comments, because I like trolling back. It's like one of the most fun things to do, you know?
Yeah, I don't have that in me.
You don't have that into you? You know, well, you don't have that because they're strangers, but I feel like if you know them, oh, it's the trap. You're a bigger... Here's the thing, guys. People think... You would think... from our banter that I'm the trash talker, but when we're on the court, I really don't talk that much trash.
No, you don't.
On the other hand, oh my gosh, it's a whole entire like dumpster truck coming up, burr, 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 and you're saving stuff. Like, you have, I swear, like, Chris, you have like a little book, you write little quips in there, and you're ready to use it whenever. Like that one line you said to John Q when we played, yes. Oh damn, aren't you an archaeologist?
I thought you were supposed to be able to
Yeah, I thought you're supposed to be able to dig, and we're like, oh, dig, and I was like, oh man, he's been saving that one. He wrote that one down somewhere. That's in his Apple Notes or something.
It's so funny. I am definitely a big trash talker on the court.
No, you're a big trash talker. No, I don't do it. I do little funny trick shots, and I just look at you, like, you know, with a little eye, and like laugh it off. You know, make you feel bad. That's what I try and do. Most of the times it don't work, and I look stupid, but it's fine. It's fine. At least somebody got a laugh out of it. That's all that
matters. Right. Yeah. All right. Next thing I want to go over was, are we ever worried about giving paddle companies a bad review? Like, how will that affect the relationship with them? Or like, will we not get product? And this is an interesting one, because I actually think people see this situation backwards all the time. And maybe it's because I'm living it on the other side of it. But people are always like, well, if you review it negatively, like, they won't want to work with you. They won't talk to you. You won't get product early.
It doesn't matter.
Honestly, it really doesn't. It doesn't, but it does to some extent, right? Like, let's say the YOLO event, right? Let's say I didn't get invited and I don't have a review out on launch date. That does impact me, right? Like, they're going to other people to get the information. It's like, in a sense, it impacts me. But what I think people are missing is that by doing those honest, well, if you're just honest all the time, but doing the bad reviews builds a lot of trust with the audience. And what a paddle company, in my opinion, cares about more than anything is, does that audience trust and believe what this guy is saying, right? Like, if I have a history of telling you exactly how a paddle is, whether good or bad, and now I say this paddle's amazing, you probably believe that paddle is amazing, versus if you only ever say, Yeah, then people are like, yeah. Well, but you said it about the last one, and that one wasn't really that good, so like, can I actually trust this? So, well, of course no paddle company wants a negative review, and I know companies who have been mad at me for negative reviews. They will still send stuff because if that next product is good and they hit a home run, it works out way better for them. So I always think the best approach is to be as honest as possible because it establishes trust with the audience, which is the most important thing any content creator could have. If you don't have trust, anything you say is worthless. So what's the point?
Yeah. I mean, no, it's true. You have had a few bad reviews. I mean, the best example I can think of is the Pursuit Ultra. I think you trashed on that, I'm pretty sure, right?
From Engage? I'm trying to think what my, like, worst review ever is.
And the STK. Probably,
it was probably the STK, but, like...
The Adidas? I mean, you didn't even do one on the Adidas. You just mentioned it, like, some other...
The Metal Bone.
The Metal Bone, that's right. Oh, yeah, they don't want to
work with you no more. There's been a few. Like, my Gearbox CX-11 review, I think my thumbnail literally said, or title or something said, like, I couldn't wait for this review to be over, or, like, I hated this paddle or something. Like, there's a lot of those, but I'd have to go back and watch what I think, like, my most, like, savage review ever was.
Yeah, but then they kind of, I mean, I don't know, they improve, right? I mean, like, the Engages, like, the Ultras.
They got better.
Yeah, they got better. The Pursuit Pros were good. I really like the Pursuit Pro 1. That one's a home run, for me at least. What else improved? I mean, Franklin improved, I guess. STK, that's improved. Adidas, sorry.
They still got
maybe
some
third times the charm. I don't know. So we'll see.
We'll hope. Yeah, we'll hope. But
we'll hope. Yeah, are you actually hoping, though, or are you just saying that?
No, I actually do, because I think they have the resources to be able to make something amazing. Like, they, large company, they would have the budget and the resources to do it. Like, when I talk to the team at Adidas, I can tell they're smart people. I don't know if it's who's testing the paddles or what it is, but, like, there's a disconnect somewhere where, like, this is a really cool engineering idea. Like, the Metal Bone, engineering-wise, cool paddle. Built very well. Feels cool, like concept. A tank.
Yes.
Just plays terrible.
Poorly. Yeah, poorly executed. Apparently, they're not as smart as you think they are.
Well, I think it's like you can be really smart but just not know, like,
what how good want.
Paddle feels. Like, it's kind of like, reminds me of some of the old Gearboxes, right? Like, Raphael is objectively an insanely smart person, and he hit a home run with the Pro Powers, but, like, to me, the CX-11s, so bad.
Trash. Like, I know. I know. You hate that thing. That's, you know why? It's so funny to me during that time that your wife was playing with that and really liked the CX-11s. I know it pained you. It pained you to pull that off your shelf and put it in your bag to go play with her. It was so funny.
No, but not even that. My mother-in-law also loved the CX-11s.
Oh, it's even funnier.
Both of them. Yeah. I was like, I'm just like, guys, I have so many paddles. Why this
guys,
one?
You have, you know, the world is your oyster, and this is what you pick. What, you want to eat the garnishes? Come on.
Yep. Okay. Anyways, last thing for me that, well, let me see. Scroll in the notes really quick. I think last thing I wanted to go over is just, like, my personal ethics, and I know you haven't written anything down because you just got back from a car. So once I finish, you can go over yours too if you want. But
okay,
I wanted to be clear on what some of my stances are on certain things, so people just know where it sits. Because, again, like, I realized I think about these things, but I may not have ever publicly said them. But as far as my ethics go, no paddle company is going to sponsor any video you see from me. Like, you're not going to see me do, like, a 6-0 ad read on, like, a Selkirk paddle review. Like, no paddle company is sponsoring anything here. I will not be taking any monies for a review. Like, on the front end, like, they cannot say, hey, here's $10,000. Please go say nice things about our review. I'm still getting paid through affiliate money, which actually maybe we'll come back to this in a minute, because I actually differ a little bit from what you said about whether it's the front end or the back end being the same. We'll come back to that in a minute. Same. But
I know for you, it's different.
A little bit. I think you can make arguments both ways, but we'll come back to that in just a second as our last thing. But I'm not going to take any money for a review. Brands don't get to preview my reviews before they go out. I make the video, I publish it. They don't get any say in it. I will always do my best to present the information as I see it and like have thoroughly play tested the paddle unless I stay state otherwise. Like if I say, if it's a first look video, that usually means I had one play session with the paddle or like a couple days with it. But if it's a full review, usually it's much more thorough. So I will always do my best to present the honest information that I have with the paddles that I am hitting. And then actually on top of that, I've started occasionally buying my own paddles from some of these companies under a different name because only when I suspect there's something fishy at play. This is not, it hasn't, I haven't caught anyone doing anything fishy yet, but I've suspected it a few times and I wanted to confirm with a paddle off the shelf, or I'll go to Just Paddles and ask them for it because, you know, they're not affiliated. Yeah, the
distributor.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Or sometimes I just guys, find someone locally with it.
Don't be sneaky out there. Y'all trying to get one under Chris now. He's already thought, you know, five steps ahead of y'all. Okay?
Yeah.
Don't try to put one under.
Please don't try because you will probably get caught, especially now that we're cutting open paddles a lot. There is that too. But then the last thing is no one gets a free pass. I do not care if you're Adidas, Selkirk, Yola. I don't care what brand you are. You don't get an easy pass. And also, friends don't get an easy pass.
Yeah, that I definitely know.
That has put me in awkward situations more than one time because of you just don't. Again, you lose credibility if I give a favorable review just because someone's a friend. So just know that like everyone is on an equal playing field. It doesn't matter who you are. So, and it's, you know, it's funny actually. Yeah. I saw lots of Reddit threads about like, oh, you know, all these reviewers are praising the Gen 3 and no one's talking about any of the downsides, which is crazy because that's just not true. But then they're like, yeah, like, you know, it's only good things. And like, I'm sure these companies are super happy with the review. I literally had someone from Yola tell me that there were people at Yola upset with things I said in my review.
Yeah.
So it just
what was
makes
it? What
me
was it? Tell me.
They were not happy with me saying at the end of the review, like, most of you should not buy this paddle. And like, there were people that were like, no, lots of people are going to take this and be like, well, we shouldn't buy it. But it was like, the context was, most of you shouldn't buy this because it's too much power. Like, you will just play worse with it. So I just think it's funny when there's like people chirping on the internet, like,
oh. Yeah, they're really narrow down about it. I mean, yeah. And how do people say that? I think the first line I said in my Yola thing, I was like, I think these paddles are too powerful. There, I said it. I'm pretty sure that's the first line in my video.
People kind of just hear what they want to hear. I will say, I feel, at least for me, like I have achieved true neutral when the company is upset and like none
the
of the people
didn't
have to be upset. Yeah, but it's like if both of them are upset, it's like, can you be more neutral?
No, you really can't. Like I said, you can't please everybody, and that's what a review is kind of all about.
Yeah. So I don't know. Those are my thoughts. I don't know if you had anything you wanted to say, like ethics wise. I feel like we've kind of gone over most of it, but I just wanted to be like very clear about like where my lines are.
Yeah, you wanted to go over kind of the back end, the front end of getting paid with affiliate sales, etc. Again, yeah.
Yeah, let's go over thoughts? That. So to me, it is different because upfront. Like, let's say a company says, like, hey, review this paddle. We'll give you $10,000 for it. Mm-hmm. To me, with the affiliate sales, like, of course, you could overhype a paddle and, like, try to get more sales out of it. But people will figure out, again, it goes back to trust. Like, people will figure out very quickly if you did that and the paddle wasn't good and now your trust is lowered, which in turn will reduce affiliate sales. So to me, it's like 10 grand is guaranteed no matter what you say. Whereas affiliate sales, like, you can try and say great things, but you may never get to that equivalent amount of money. So
true,
you are getting money in one way or another, but to me, the fact that it's not guaranteed, like, changes, I guess, the view of it. Maybe to other people it doesn't. Like, clearly you have a different stance on it, but to me it
feels
different.
It probably feels different. For the most part, like, I feel more or less for you, but, you know, I mean, some of this money that I'm getting, and I haven't done that many, to be quite honest. A lot of the payments, you know, that I get, it's like they pay me after the fact, or they see a video that I've kind of already made and they know I tell them straight up. I was like, yeah, I played with it. I like it. I'm going to do some video. These are kind of like the things I'm going to say, but they don't say, they can't change it. When it gets posted, it gets posted. And a lot of it is like, they like parts of the video, they'll cut it up and they'll use it in their own ads or something like that, right? Or sometimes they'll kind of know, like they have an idea of what I'm going to say and they're like, okay, can we pay you now? Because we want to cut up some of these, like, you know, the opportunity to basically the privilege of using parts of it to use for their own advertising.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, sure thing. That's fine.
Yep.
But
that one, it doesn't change, you know, that one's actually interesting. That's kind of an interesting one to go over because I don't really know where I sit with that one yet. So
yeah, because sometimes they can take it out of context, you know?
Well, for sure they can take it out of context, which isn't good. And like, I've had people chop something up from one of my videos before, like without asking. And like, I didn't ask them to take it down because it's like, whatever. But I really can't figure out where I sit with that one because I'm like, okay, let's say you did a review, like completely neutral, like you just reviewed it. And then the company was like, hey, we like what you said. Can we run an ad on it? Currently, my stance is I'm telling companies no, and I don't want any payment for it. But I don't know if that's like, I don't actually know if it's bad. Like if you did the review as like, let's say I did the 11/6/24 review and they wanted to run ads. I don't know if it's actually objectively a bad thing to have them run ads on it. But for me, what I'm afraid of is people see that ad and go, he must be affiliated with that company. So now right. I can't trust him. So yeah, that's why I don't want to step toward it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's for you and your brand and how you do things. For me, I guess it doesn't really matter that much because I'm already leaning into that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's also good because at least, you know, since you and I kind of take different approaches, we can kind of talk. Like, I can talk you through, like, what's happening with me and you can talk to me what's happening to you or what you're getting offered. And it gives us an idea of how to kind of move forward or make decisions based on what we know about each other's channels and our brands and like what we're trying to do as content creators, which is good, which is what I like. You know, it gives us different perspectives, you know, on what the other one's doing and what companies are doing and trying to do, you know?
Yeah.
So
for sure.
It makes sense. Yeah.
Anyways, this, I don't know how long deep we are, but it's past midnight here and we've made it to the kitchen, Will.
Yes. All right. I'm going to start with the kitchen first. I went to Texas and dude, somebody came up to me and they asked me if I was Ed Jew. And I was like, nah, I'm not Ed Jew.
Dude, it's every time. It's like the Asian content creators just get mixed up for each other all the time.
It's all good. You know, it is what it is. I think somebody actually said it, but they caught themselves. Like I was walking around, right? And somebody was like, hey, you make a pickleball like content, right? And then I was like, yeah, that's me. And then it's like, yeah, aren't you, are you current? Wait, no, you're Will. And I was like, ooh. Or they could have been like, yo, yeah, you're Ed. Oh, wait, no, wait a second. You're like, if that happened, I'd be dying laughing. And you know what's funny? When that person came up to me and asked me if I was Ed Jew, I mean, obviously, like, we corrected him. He felt a little bad or whatever. I was like, no, it's fine. This happens all the time. You know, he gave him a pass. We laughed it off. Valetsky was there. You know Valetsky who plays Six Year. He's in your Discord and stuff. He was there, and he's cheesing. So he's trying so hard not to laugh at this poor guy. He's trying so hard. He's like, oh, gosh. And it's funny because he was like, man, when you guys talk about it, I thought, you know, you're just making, like, not really making up stories, but, like, maybe you're over-exaggerating how often it happens. And then he sees it happening in real time in front of his eyes. Like, oh, my gosh. It really does happen as much as you guys talk about. And, yeah, it does. There you go.
It's so funny. That's a hilarious story.
Yeah.
But the main thing I wanted to go over in the kitchen, which will probably be kind of quick here, is so I posted my U.S. Open gold medal match.
The 4-5?
Yeah, the 4-5-1. And first of all, an absolute miracle happened, Will. This is the first time in history that I think this in pickleball. I don't think this has ever happened. So I text my mixed partner and I was like, hey, are you okay with me posting this video? Because, you know, people can be kind of mean. And like, she was going to be in the thumbnail and whatnot. And she was like, I'm just not going to read the comments. Because I warned her. I was like, people can be mean. Like, they will just say, like, you guys suck at pickleball. Dude, first of all, there was like zero mean comments, and she just got praised out the wazoo. And of course, rightfully so. She carried you. Yeah. She is like, dude, I'll take it. I don't even care. She's an amazing player. Like, she is very good, but I was like, wow. I was like, the pickleball community can watch a gold medal match and not be mean. I was yes. Amazing.
Yes, your audience has elevated, you know? Shoot, they know.
Pickleball YouTube is transcending. But the main thing I wanted to talk about, that was just a side tangent.
Yeah.
The only, like, if you want to call it mean, it made me chuckle more than anything. So I put all of the dupers in the video, and the range of duper from lowest to highest was 471 to 478. So that spread is really narrow. Like, all the players were really close. And someone was like, man, of course everyone in the gold medal match is sandbagging. And it got me thinking. I was like,
get out.
Well, that's what that was my first reaction. I was like, sandbagging? I was like, 471? I was like, that's not sandbagging. But then it made me think, where do you draw the line between not sandbagging when you're rated over that division and not sandbagging? So, like,
yeah, do you just expect everybody to be at like 4.5 max to be able to play 4.5? Like, what?
Like, I think that's what people want, but when you really think about it, anyone who's going to win that division, which means they're probably ready for the next division, they are going to be higher than a 4.5 by at least a little bit, right?
Like, yeah.
I'm not saying you can't win a 4-5 division if you're like a 4-4. Of course that could happen. But more than likely, if you're ready to jump up to 5-0 and you're winning 4-5, you're probably already almost a 5-0.
Yeah, when you're playing 4-5, I imagine that your level is anywhere between, I don't know, 4-4 to like, even like 4, I don't know, I would say 4-8. I think if you're 4, even 4, I don't know.
Isn't
honestly,
it hard?
As long as, it is hard. As long as there's no 5 in your thing, I think it's fine.
So, yes, this is where I get really conflicted, because in my head, if I see like a 499, my head does like kind of go like, I don't feel like you should be in here, but I'm like, I don't know. It's like a super arbitrary thing in my head, right? Like,
yeah,
485 in my head, I probably go, nah, like you're fine in 4-5, but like, is 489 okay? Like, where does it?
Yeah, or is 4-9? It's really just the optics of that number, really, is all it is. Yeah, and it could change on any given day. There could be one day where I see that number, and I'm like, okay, that's fine. And then I'll have a bad day because I guess my ass beat on the court or something, and I see it, and I'm like, get out of here. You don't belong here. You know what I mean?
So it's... I'm super curious what the audience thinks on this one, because...
Yeah, put down in the comments below, when do you actually... Like, put the exact number to... How many decimal places do you want to say?
Just two decimal? Two decimal. Yeah.
When is it considered sandbagging? Like, is it... Let's say for 4-5, right? At one decimal place, does it feel like it feels like sandbagging? And honestly, you know, you can't even say that because duper is, I mean, are they really that accurate? I don't know.
Duper's all over the place.
Yeah, exactly. Like, who knows? Yeah, so, and I mean, somebody's saying they're sandbagging. Yeah, they definitely are.
I think my line, if I really had to draw one and like really come to a conclusion, I think I would draw it at like 499. Even though you like the difference between 499 and 5-0 is like literally nothing.
Yeah.
I kind of think that's where I would cap it.
Yeah, that's where I would cap it too. If I see that 5, I'm like, all right, you don't belong in 4-5. But also, I mean, if you did, I was like, I kind of, I wouldn't even be necessarily that mad at you if you're like 5, literally 5.00. Even if you're 5.01, I don't think I'd be that mad at you, to be quite honest.
If I saw like a 5-1 in a 4-5, I would be like, okay, why are you in this? This doesn't make any sense.
I think 5-1 might be there. It's hard. You're right. It's hard.
But I'll tell you right now, a quarter point, I definitely don't think that's sandbagging. There's no way.
Okay, quarter point, all right. But a whole half point?
Whole half a point, you're probably sandbagging now.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. There's a reason why we go from 4-5. We divided the divisions from 4-5 to 5-0, right? So,
yep.
To me, if you're between 4-5, 4.99999, whatever, you're good. I'll let it play. Like, it's fine. Unless if you're like that 4999 and you've been winning like a lot of golds or something like that in like 4 or 5, I'm like, all right, man, it's time for you to graduate. Get out of here. I don't want to see you, you know, in the first round ever again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's right. So I don't know. Let us know down in the comments what you guys think. But I actually thought when I saw the comment, I was like, huh, that actually did get me thinking. I was like, that's kind of a good comment. Even if I disagree with it, I was like, I think it got me thinking.
Okay. All right. Good stuff.
Cool. Yeah, well,
I mean, that's all I got. You got anything else?
No, that's it for me. I'm ready for bed. It is almost 12:30 now.
Yep. All right. Pickleball Will, your host and your co-host Chris, out. Peace.
Peace.